All right, we'll go ahead and open the city council, call the city council meeting to order for July 30th, 2019 at 7:20 PM. All rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone. Public comments. I know we just finished with the public hearings, so I'm not foreseeing any additional public comment at this time. So then we'll go ahead and move on to agenda review and adoption. Are there any additions, objections, or deletions?
Mayor and Council, just one thing I omitted was if we can just add the Hamburg Fire Department report after the consent agenda.
Okay. Anybody else have anything else? Otherwise, I look for a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Make a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Amended. Look for a motion then for the consent agenda.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor? Opposed? Passes. Chief, you're up.
Evening, Council, both Mayor. You know, just one quick item. I got contacted not too long ago by Casey Stotts from the Department of Public Safety, and he found somebody for our ladders to be donated to Grove City Fire Department. It's up near Litchfield. Actually, about the same size as Hamburg, so. But they're willing to take the ladders. I need to make contact with their chief to figure out exactly when. But I just wanted to see if you guys are still okay with donating the ladders, because I know we did approve it he got them before I got them listed there, so the department would like to still work with the council.
Any objection from the council?
No.
No, someone can use them.
Okay.
For good use, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I have a motion.
Get a hold of the York City Fire Chief.
We actually might probably need to make that into a motion. Somebody want to move to donate the ladders to what place again?
Grove City.
Grove City.
Make a motion to donate the ladders to Grove City Fire Department.
Second. Moved and seconded to donate the fire department ladders to Grove City. Any further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Okay.
Yeah.
Jump
the gun. Other than that, I don't have anything else for this evening. Unless you guys have some questions.
Anybody anything for the chief?
No. All right. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
You.
You too.
Yep. All right. Let's move on then to animal ordinances. Ordinance 162. We just had the public hearing. We've heard very similar testimony over several meetings. So, what is the thoughts of the council in regards to what we've heard today and in the past? In regards to the way it is written right now, do we want to make any changes? If so, what would those changes be? Or do we want to, what's the actions we want to do? Thoughts?
So I think the two biggest concerns we have is under C, conditions of license, which would be the storage, where as there we say, no person shall keep any chickens inside the single family dwelling, garage, or accessory structure. So if we were to take in the public input of removing the garage, I would also suggest, that, like we said, we have some wording in there. And I don't know about the allowing access that easy enough, but a lot of times you end up having to get an administrative search warrant, you know, to enter someone's property unless you get their permission, but she seems willing, so.
Matt, is there anything that we would need to be worried about from the city standpoint if we were to allow for animals like that to be inside that we needed to go into and inspect?
Well, the problem that I would see that might possibly arise would be if you, obviously, you can write into the ordinance where you have some kind of authority to come and inspect the premises, right? Okay, so what happens when that doesn't work out? So you show up at the house is locked with no way to contact, you can't make contact, you can't just forcibly enter the home and try and investigate as to the conditions of the number of chickens, whatever it might be. That would be my primary concern without having examined any other city's ordinances as to how they permit some kind of inspection or, you know, somebody in the city to be able to come in and monitor the actions of the individual homeowners. Would just be, as you kind of mentioned, what would be the process by which the city would have access to these homes? And are you going to end up in an administrative hurdle trying to get access to these homes to inspect and cooperate or coordinate with anybody who's keeping the chickens in a manner that doesn't allow them to be viewed from outside the premises? Again, you know, without having looked at any other city's specific ordinances on this matter, there are a lot of interplays with, you know, property rights. Individuals have a right to have the property and not have people trespassing on the property. I think there is a potential, at least, to have some negative consequences from entering somebody's property without express permission, things like that. They can at least be asserted, not necessarily, you know, be successfully asserted, but there could always be some kind of issues that could come up, or if there's somebody that's not necessarily very cooperative in terms of getting granting the access, then what would be the city's next course of action? Those are all just thoughts I have initially off the top of my head, again, without examining specifically any other ordinances in place that are utilized. It very well may be that there's some kind of workable model out there that provides for the appropriate oversight, but again, off the top of my head, those are the concerns that I've seen.
Okay. Would we have the same power with this? I'm assuming we're just like a nuisance. Let's say, I'm not worried about this particular case, but let's say down the road, like he's saying, and they don't abide and they don't let us in there, can we simply turn it over to the county for prosecution because we're not following? Is it the same thing as the public?
Well, if it's in the garage and we don't, I mean, you need proof.
One of the struggling points that we could potentially have without having a mechanism in play the way it's set up right now is, like, right now, if we have a nuisance, like too many cars in the driveway or weeds or things like that, we can physically get line of sight without violating the property owner's right of their property. Whereas, unfortunately, like, if it was in the garage and they were unresponsive, we would run afoul if we just decided to go in or found another way to try to figure out how do we get line of sight.
I wonder what kind of loops the Humane Society in that goes to get these dogs and put all these rescue these animals out of these.
Yeah, right.
How many hoops they gotta jump through to. Is there quite a bit, Matt, involved in that?
You know, honestly, I don't know. I've never investigated that specific topic. I can't answer that question. And I guess, as I said, there might be a perfectly functional mechanism in place that other cities allow for this kind of oversight as contemplated and as suggested. But off the top of my head, I don't know the answer to that.
You know, and I haven't found that model. Everybody I've talked to, no one allows them in the garage, you know, otherwise, like you said, St. Paul, which we've looked at their model a little bit. But it would be something if we were looking to do that, I'd probably turn it over to Mac, our attorney, for verbiage on that. So what I would probably look at if we were looking to make any changes tonight is to bring them forth. I can bring them forth to our attorney and then probably look at the next meeting approving the ordinance, allowing the time for the proper verbiage.
That's the way you should
roll. You got it right now.
Yeah. And I would just revert back to what I said, like, don't penalize me for somebody else who's going to break the law.
Well, we're not saying you're going to do it, but we got to look for everyone.
No, I know, but what would you do if somebody had 1,000 cats in their house and if there was a complaint, you would never know?
That's what I'm saying. With the Humane Society, what kind of loops do they got to come to get in there to get after the cat and dog and stuff?
But that's what, right, and I recognize that would be an issue, but that person is breaking the law or the ordinance. Okay. They're not following the rules.
Definitely.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want you to hinder, I'm requesting you to not hinder me based on fear of somebody else breaking the law.
I don't think it's out of fear that we're trying to accommodate this request. We just want to make sure that the city has every ability to verify whatever it may be going on inside of the chicken coop itself, not the rest of the garage, just explicitly the chicken coop aspect of the garage. And if we can do it in a manner that works and that our legal counsel is comfortable with and staff is comfortable with, then I think that's a way we can go forward.
Perhaps it's something with a license, because in there we're doing a license.
Yeah.
It might be easy to add that.
I was going to say, what if we had a verbiage, like, as part of the annual permit, we have to inspect the run and the coop. And then if you have that verbiage in there, if they don't allow that, then can we just simply say, hey, or is that still just too open-ended?
Well, I think the concern is from council that I'm hearing, other than, not, I don't think it's the initial setup or the renewal of a license. I think it's the ongoingness of what's going on. Because let's face it, if you get, yep, you did my inspection, I have 5 chickens, and lo and behold, not to say this is going to be the case, but just it could happen where someone will say, well, no, they're not going to inspect me for another year. I can get away with maybe another 2 or 3 or however many. I don't think we'll have a chicken lady situation in place, but
like, would they, in that particular instance, I'm playing devil's advocate here a little bit, but I mean, would they just let them all 5 at a time?
Could be. I don't know.
People get creative.
And as far as the run and the, you know, allowing in a fenced yard, what one city brought up was to me is, okay, say you allow that for everybody. Now you have the whole block full of chickens just running around in the backyard. Is someone then going to complain and say, what is this turning into? You know, I live in the city, not in the country, or, you know, and that's where, you know, when you're up here, you try to play devil's advocate because we're the ones that are going to get the questions, concerns. You always have to try to play both sides so you can meet in the middle here.
Well, and it's so, the unintended consequences of passing ordinance that we have, that we up here have to make sure we cover every base possible before making a decision. So my suggestion, let's go ahead and see if there are any other ordinances out there that accommodate for the coop in the garage and find out what they do, pass it by Matt and the crew and see if they have anything. And then let's just
and then also back. Look at the fence yard issue, right? I think they were the two biggest concerns.
Yeah, and what I said in the last hearing that I did say today too, as far as the fence yard is concerned, you know, my fence area is within, it's not my, doesn't border my property. So, you know, if this is my property, my fence yard is like this. So, granted, I might be the only one, but you could list that, or I know my neighbors across the way, they don't have any fencing, but if they chose to get a little, you know, square of fencing in their yard, you know, just listing it in that way, and you could perhaps word it to say being, I think it was already in there, being X amount of feet from other structures or whatever.
Jerry, why don't you see if there's any coop policies out there from a setback from the principal structure that are less than 15 feet? Because, right, I mean, based on the way the ordinance is written, I'm gonna, if you look at D3, this is where I think you're going at, is the enclosed coop shall be have a setback of minimum 15 feet from principal structure and subject to parcel of 5 feet from property line enclosed coop, not to exceed 6 feet in height. So we're already trying to keep it away from the property line with the 5 feet perimeter number. But then we're in this situation where it wouldn't work is that they have to be at least 15 feet away from the principal structure. So if we were to, if there was an ordinance out someplace that allowed them in the garage, what is that minimum setback, if there is any at all, and how do they account for that in the ordinance? I think that'd be good information for us to have at the next meeting. And that would address potential
issues. And the fencing still being that far away, regardless.
Yeah.
So
I think we maybe want to address the coop and the run or open fenced area, tie that into that.
Yeah. Just see if there's anything else out there. Use listserv, I guess.
Okay.
Any other direction from council for staff as regards to other items to verify before we move on from this topic? No? Well, if anything, if you guys think of anything, just let staff know. We'll go from there. So we'll move that one on to the next one. Thank you.
Thanks.
Land use application, camps, variance request for a garage. I know.
Yep. We were set to have the meeting tonight. But it was printed at 5-foot variance, but they actually want a 10-foot variance. So looking to move that meeting to the 13th.
So look for a motion then for public hearing for variance for Jeff Camps on August 13, 2019 at 7 o'clock.
I move to move the public hearing for variance to August 13, 2019 at 7 o'clock regarding garage for Jeff Camps.
Second. Moved and seconded to move the public hearing for the variance on Jeff Camps' garage August 13, 2019 at 7 o'clock. All in favor? Opposed? We have a public hearing. Move on then to George Street Development Project, final plat and donation pond easements.
Okay, so I've gotten the easements done. They had gotten me the final plat, but they didn't split the, they split it into two lots, needed to be split into four lots. We're still waiting on that. Water and sewer in the street and storm, that's completed. And
the outlet to the pond is not done.
They're still working on that,
yeah,
correct? Yep.
Something's screwed up.
Yeah, so the line that runs from the pond to over to towards Brad Street there, which will tie into the other tile line, that which then dumps into the ditch, that's what they have to complete yet. As far as
now, the storms are coming from the street, Jeremy, that dumps into the pond.
Oh, into the pond.
Everything coming
okay.
out of the pond to the railroad tracks or to that line over there is done.
Okay, so I know they were having some issues on
that. They got the skimmer in that end. He's got something, he ordered the wrong structure or something. For
okay. Okay, so it's to the pond, not the ditch. Okay. Let's see, what else do we got going on there? So I think the street's in. I think before they put curb and gutter in, Brad talked to me today that they're going to wait till they at least get the foundation of the house in before they pour the curb. So that way, yeah,
oh, yeah.
So you got the cement trucks in and out versus
Does
going
he
over
have
that curb.
All his permits met in order for to start building?
We do have the permits now.
Because that day that Friday was so hot, we had to get that in because he was coming Monday to dig. I wasn't even aware that he had permits.
Yeah. Yep, so should be seeing more activity down there. So that's where we're at on the George Street development.
Water tower?
The water tower. So we had pre-con meeting today. So we kind of went through a long spreadsheet here, but I'll just kind of go over a few of the main items. So I did put in the packet kind of a timeline. So they're looking to come in next week already and to start. Basically what they'll be doing is removing the five trees out here so they can start the foundation work. So they'll be bringing in
5
later date. So yeah, they'll be removing the 5 trees just so they can start the foundation work. So as you can see in here, there's kind of, it's all dotted out. They're hoping all said and done to be completed, you know, September of next year. We all know the reasoning behind the late start, but at least the nice thing is once we got this settled that they're willing to come in next week already and get going on this, so mm-hmm. So that's good news. Some of the things they brought up is that nothing in the streets or the looping, any of that work, that won't take place till next year. So we won't have to worry about no road closures or any of those issues this year. They said that most likely will be towards the end of the project when they pave this and, you know, do the looping there on Jacob. The other things they brought up is they have a good crew. Typically they work Monday to Friday, 7 to 7. They wanted me to bring forth the council if we had any objections, allowing them to work the weekends, Saturday and Sunday. Reason that being, they got crews that come in and do certain sections for 2 months, then another crew for 2 months, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So they got two areas where they would have this, where they would need a month and a half to 2 months, and it's, you know, it's all weather permitting. Where they got a good group of guys, they said, that are willing to work. They come in, they want to get the job done, move on to the next, or go home, because a lot of them are thousands of miles away from home. So they wanted me to bring forth council. If council has any objections, them working, you know, 7 to 7 the whole week.
Thoughts, council?
on that, concerns with that, let's get it out.
I don't think there's anybody in town that wants to say anything.
Yeah, that's... You know, well, there'll be probably some complaints, but, you know, we want to get that online before, you know, winter next year comes.
It's not like we're right in the middle of town either.
No, towards the end.
It may make some issues of the, always the benefit of that deal in 2 days extra.
Just let the immediate neighbors know.
Yeah, and we can do that, we'll do a block area or something with some notifications. You know, and we'll probably fall news. Fall newsletter. So it'd just be when they're doing the field erection, they said, and the painting. You know, because the timeline really, that painting is, they gotta get it done. Yeah, the window's small enough the way it is, and then weather permitting. So that would be kind of the two times where they would be working, you know, that full seven. Some of the other things they brought up, you know, the warranty, there'd be 2 year, where they'd be due inspection on the tower for 2 years, which would be covered. One other thing they brought up, which was, like I said, it'll probably be next year when they do that water main looping. Anybody that would be out for more than 4 hours without water, then they would have to provide temporary services along there. So, and they will do that, so that way nobody's out more than 4 hours. One of the other things we brought up was kind of the other biggest thing was storage, you know, because it's kind of a limited area. So what they had asked, they had to use some of the parking lot if they would allow that. So I'll bring that forth to you. My suggestion was if they do, that it'd have to be fenced off. Because we are kind of limited, because we really can't use much here because we got the wells and, you know, because they want to be able to, you know, bring in their piping and all that storage and have it all.
Going back to the trees, there's some area there open if the trees are open. Sweeten that problem.
Right.
did they mention anything about, probably not third party, but do they have any kind of QA, QC that they plan on doing as far as during the erection process, welding rod, welding inspection, cool to construction, things like that?
Yeah, SEH will be doing all that.
Okay. So I've x-rayed this company, and it's low hydrogen rod and not in an oven and
okay.
Elements.
Yeah, because there's concrete, soils, welding, steel, foundation, shop, piping, welds, paint, coatings, all them inspections.
Okay, perfect.
Are being done by SEH here. Them are all their field observations.
Perfect.
All right. Do you want to summarize anything and get it to Jeremy as far as things for
SEH? Yeah,
SEH to,
I think there will be at least something to pass on to SEH just for things to, and even if they just, I guess even just the threat of third party inspection, and actually there should be, I believe it's AWWA code, and there should be X-ray requirements on certain T-joints on the welds.
Okay.
If they're following that code and you tell a welding crew that they're going to get X-rays, it's going to completely change the quality of those welds, even if the X-ray never happens. Cheapest inspection you can get is telling them they're getting an X-ray.
Okay, good to know. Yeah, anything you can think of,
Shoot
it to me and then I can shoot it to Justin, engineer. And then I'll send this out to the summary. When they put it together to council too.
Anything else now?
No, so gonna see some activity finally.
Yeah.
105 years in the making.
We're on to seal coating.
Yeah, so basically got that in there. So basically what I'm looking at if you reviewed is to approve the cost for Pearson's Brothers at $14,915.45 plus the $10,087 for crack sealing, whereas Allied was almost $25,000.
So look for a motion then to approve that.
approve the bid for Pearson Brothers for seal coating.
Moved and seconded to approve Pearson Brothers seal coat bid for the $14,915.45 with the additional $1,087 for backfill. Any further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Passes.
And they might even be here this week already.
I'm sure they'll take care of the parking signs. And stuff.
Yep. They will post that.
Community hall improvements?
All right, so me and Greg did some, spent a good hour over there looking at the pavement on the north side of the hall there. There's kind of one section where it's coming out, and I wanted to get council's opinion if we wanted to move forward is maybe, you know, instead of having an engineered report or something coming in, it's maybe if we could have a contractor look at it to see if there's somehow we could anchor, you know, because we got to dig all that blacktop out. So we put some type of anchor under the blacktop and then some kind of plate there to hold that wall up. So there's just one section in there where it's, you know, cracked and then caving in. We didn't know if that would work. I don't know how far down deep that cement goes into the ground either, but I'd have to think that's in the ground somehow. I mean, that would be a cheap solution versus redoing it all, retaining wall or doing poured walls or that kind of concept. And as far as lowering it, just kind of for, I mean, runoff, we looked, maybe you can lower it a foot when we really looked at it. The other concerns, you know, we talked about ADA going to that basement. Just, there's no way that making that ADA compliant, we'd have to probably do a ramp all the way into the end of the bar there. I mean, when we looked at it, you know, because to get that correct slope, even if we lowered it a foot or two, you're still, you'd probably have to go to the end of the bar. So I don't know if it's worth pursuing. You know, we were just trying to look, how can we, you know, do a fix that would hold? I mean, my thought was having, I don't know, I can't remember the guy's name, but M&M Construction, because we had them come and look at the hall building, you know, when we seen that that was kind of caving in and they core filled. So maybe some other cheaper options, or what's council's thoughts?
Council thoughts?
It wouldn't hurt to make a few calls and see what's out there for retaining the repair. I would think there'd be some kind of a tie back that you could crank it in, but maybe not. Worst case scenario, we'd have to go.
I wouldn't just guess the turbo wheel is straight. Lowering wall basements and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's somebody, like, you know, people like that. Yeah, he does a lot of the basement work and the tiles.
Yeah,
you see him throw out top basements and he'll put weeds or something in there.
Yeah, that anchoring type system.
Get a hold of him and see what
okay. Yeah, I forgot about
that. He works with blocks and temples. Great.
Okay, because we were just trying to think, what could we do versus? Otherwise, it's going to be a monster expense there.
Yeah.
You know, and there's like we said, there we have the easement through there too, you know. So, but
hope we can put a band-aid on it for now. So someday down the line, maybe.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, because our thought, you know, it's not used that much. That, you know, if we did some type of fix like that, that would probably last a while. You know, because it's not like it's, you know, 100 cars on there every day. You know, it's right.
Okay. Benches and cement pads.
All right, so it keeps changing. So I had someone come up to me and wondered if instead of doing pavers, if we did stamped concrete. I don't know what council's thoughts are on that.
Thoughts, council?
My only thing I know a little bit with the stamped concrete, when you seal that and it's wet, it's slick.
Well, I don't want to step on the lions because they're willing to donate and want to do everything. I mean, do we want to jump out of a ship in the middle of the ocean? We've already kind of committed it. We're going to let the lions do it.
What was a lions member that brought that forth to me?
Even their own.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody
right. I don't know.
I do agree that stamped concrete once it's sealed, it can get pretty slick.
Yeah, I mean, it looks nice.
Yeah, I think it looks good. I got it, and it's never slippery.
No, no, don't have any issues. Okay.
Cheaper, same price?
Well, I gotta imagine pavers are probably gonna be cheaper, because it's a DIY project kind of concept here, so.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions, if they're paying for it, it's their budget.
Why don't you get the two numbers and then we'll decide.
All right. I'll get an estimate from Jensen's and Marwood and see. Okay.
Next is National Night Out. Hopefully everybody's got that circled on their calendar.
Yeah, so just a reminder, next Tuesday already. So I think we kind of got everything in the works. Our only concern is there may not be corn this year.
I was going to say, it could be running out.
So our backup plan is just to buy some big old cans of baked beans and put in a roaster. Unless anybody else has any other suggestions, so that's our plan B. Because it's kind of looking like no corn. And there's nothing we can do about it with, you know, with how late everything was. Yeah. Yeah. Chips and cookies.
Face painter.
Yeah, face painters lined up. I think we got everything lined up. I think everything's.
You guys all lined up?
Yep. I think we should be good to go.
Good. What time do you want us down there?
5 o'clock. 5:30, 7:30 it'll be, so. Okay. By 5:30. Whenever you can make it.
Anybody earlier than 5? I think it's awkward with the 2.
No.
Yeah, wear your black shirt.
Oh, way up.
Because I ran home for it. Greg, and who all, Greg and Jeremy are going to get all the food set?
Yeah.
You don't want
the
council
help? Yeah, we usually do. We start the hot dogs up here, and the beans we can put in the roasters up here. Yeah, we've been, yeah, pretty much. Kind of.
Yeah, it's from the council's keep.
Pretty. We got a good routine, so I think we're good.
Then we'll move on then to the 2019 tax forfeiture land sale.
All right, so kind of got to get back to the county and let them know if there's any reasoning we would want the property. It would be at the $4,000 cost plus all the state deed tax, this filing, so another probably $500-$600, but we would have to designate it as public use. I don't know what we would use it for.
I was just going to say, hamper sliding.
Oh, no.
Well, council, what's the thoughts?
Just gave me.
You weren't sweating, though, on the other side.
We've got water,
though. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, is there any practical use for that lot?
It's about 7,800 square feet.
Is it just better off to let someone else buy it and build it? Is it a building eligible? I don't remember the size.
I mean, it has to be 10,000, so there would have to be variances granted, I'm sure, which I think we probably, you know, because of the property, I think we could get the variances just due to that area and that block there. You know, them lots are all small, are all under 10,000 square feet. So here's the property we're looking at.
We would just want to make sure it's in conformity with everything else that's around us.
Correct.
I mean, other than that, we wouldn't probably want to put anything extra on the potential.
I talked to Brian, Stephen, and Christine.
Yeah.
Probably buy that square foot.
Oh, okay.
So, that was the last word from them. At that price, it was cheap enough for them to buy it and then just add it to their property.
Yeah, because we do have that option where we can designate that property, say that, hey, it's not buildable, whatever, non-conforming, or whatever we would want to say, and allow that sale just for adjacent landowners. But here, you know, it's kind of, there is an opportunity that that could be buildable based on the surrounding lots.
So I guess the question first comes, do we want to, as a city, purchase that land? Or do we want to let it go to market?
Okay, so then basically I'd be looking for a motion to approve resolution number 2019-07, which basically states that we allow the property for public auction.
Make a motion to approve resolution number 2019-07.
It's been moved and seconded to approve resolution number 2019-07 for the resolution authorizing action on tax forfeiture land. Any further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Passes.
Just want to go to council reports for now. Come back to the other two items.
Yeah, we can. We'll jump ahead to the council reports and we'll come back to the other items on hand. Councilman Buckingham. Councilman Tracy.
One quick thing. The bench in the park, for this east bench, there's a plank missing off of that, which I think there's still kind of concrete anchor in there. That whole bench is probably better off just to remove that bench and use more of it at this point.
Is it?
It's like that one, it's like concrete, and it's got wood. It's the furthest east bench in the park, but it's in rough shape. One of the boards is missing, there's bolts sticking on it, it's probably more of a...
Is that like one of the ballpark benches?
No, it's in natural rocks. We've got one of the newer ones with the metal and green, and it's all the way down to the east, and then there's kind of an old one that's been like an original.
Yeah.
Pretty rough shape.
Okay. So it's in the playground area there?
Yeah, maybe just
bring
them over
or something. Yeah, I'll have them look at it. Yep.
That's all I got.
Okay. Councilman Feltman?
Whatever happened to the bench up here at the corner of Hamburg City Bank?
Security Bank now, you know, took over.
Did they take it over?
They decided to remove it.
Okay.
Just remove it.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that...
They said it was in pretty rough shape, so they thought they would just remove it.
It's all right.
Okay. Some poplar?
No.
I have nothing either. I know.
This is usually most of the meeting right here.
Put that in the notes.
Wow. All right. So at this point, we'll go ahead and close the meeting and look for a motion to go into a closed session, discuss the pending litigation initiated by Triple T Services, LLC, Steve E. Trebish, and Jake V. Trebish with our city. The city council needs to engage with the city attorney in a discussion determine litigation strategy and referencing the foregoing matter. It would be detrimental to the city for the city council considerations and strategies to be discussed in a public forum because such discussion would be available to the plaintiffs. The topics discussed in the closed meeting session on July 30th, 2019 will be limited to the above described litigation. The factors set forth above outweigh the benefits of the public meeting and is reasonable and appropriate for the city council to meet in a closed session with the city attorney to discuss the matters outlined here within. The closed session is subject to the attorney-client privilege and will not be taped. The closed session is permissible pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.05 Subdivision 3B. So I look for a motion to close the meeting.
Move to close the meeting.
Second. Second to close the meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The meeting is closed.
Who first did it?
I go look for a motion to go ahead and reopen the Hamburg City Council meeting for July 30th, 2019.
I move to reopen the City Council meeting for July 30th, 2019.
Moved and seconded to reopen the July 30th, 2019 Hamburg City Council meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. We're now reopened. Just to summarize the reason again for the closed meeting. Pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D-05 Subdivision 3B, it was in order for the City's Council and City Attorney to discuss litigation initiated by Triple T Services, LLC, Stephen Trebish and Jake B. Trebish against with our city attorney. That being said, anything else for the good of the city? Otherwise, I look for a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Move second to adjourn the city council meeting for July 30th, 2019 at 8:55. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.